the Saturday Morning Update.
It's hour two of the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we spoke with John Gizzi earlier this morning. And if you are just joining us, Representative John Lewis has passed away at the age of 80. And, of course, John Gizzi, the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And, John, earlier in the program, we were talking about his rise to the U.S. Congress as he defeated Julian Bond, who was a strong political leader at the time in Georgia. And John wanted to reflect a little more on his lifetime. And he was on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington, but that's not really where it started for him when it came to the Civil Rights Movement.
No, it certainly wasn't, but John Lewis was present at the creation. Growing up in Alabama in the 1950s, he experienced what a lot of his contemporaries did, declined service at diners, told to use a colored-only men's room, rather than whites only. All of this confused the young John Lewis, who went to his father and asked why he had to deal with such humiliating circumstances. His father reportedly said, "That's the way it is," and offered no explanation, which just got Lewis more confused and angry, and as a result, he committed himself to the cause of civil rights. He was there from the beginning with the Freedom Riders going in buses throughout the South, attempting sit-ins at diners and refusing to leave when the police were called, eventually meeting Martin Luther King and working with the Southern Christian Leadership Fund and participating, as you say, in the March on Washington, even getting to speak to the 300,000 people of whites and blacks who assembled in front of the Lincoln Memorial. John Lewis, of course, turned all of this into a political career eventually. He was a member of the Ways and Means Committee and went on to become one of the most celebrated members of the Congressional Black Caucus.
John Lewis was elected to the Congress in 1986, but that wasn't his first run for Congress, John. He actually ran 9 years earlier. Tell us about that.
Well, this was most interesting. Andrew Young, a close associate of Dr. Martin Luther King, had been elected to Congress as the first black U.S. representative from the state of Georgia. In 1977, then President Carter named his fellow Georgian Young U.N. ambassador, and a special election was held to fill his seat. What is interesting is that John Lewis was among the Democratic candidates, but this is before his reputation as a civil rights legend was truly established. Democrat White Fowler won in an upset and thus became the only white Democrat to represent a majority black district in the South. Fowler cultivated the black community, worked hard as a congressman, became a friend of former opponent Lewis, and 9 years later was elected to the Senate. It was then that the congressional district he represented, which covered three-fourths of the city of Atlanta, reverted to having a black Democrat in Congress, and John Lewis was elected. It was during that interim period that the young John Lewis served as Jimmy Carter's associate director of action and then returned home and was elected to the Atlantic City Council.
John, I think John Lewis was one of those politicians that, whether you agreed with him or not, he was a person that stood on his principles. You know, he didn't really sway back and forth like a lot of politicians do. He would dig in and stand his ground.
He certainly did. And I think in many ways he'll be regarded as the lineal heir to another black congressman who said exactly what was on his mind and behaved in that way, the late and legendary Adam Clayton Powell of Harlem, New York. John Lewis's case, he would offer the Congressional Black Caucus's budget, something that was a big spending document with increased programs for the poor, and he knew very well it had little chance of passage, but he still brought it before the House Ways and Means Committee. In addition, John Lewis let you know whether he liked you or not, and that was the case with the last two Republican presidents. He boycotted George W. Bush's inauguration because he did not believe the outcome of the election and the Supreme Court validating Florida's electoral votes for Republican Bush. Similarly, he boycotted Donald Trump's inauguration because he felt that the Russian involvement in the election made it a fraud. All of this without hesitation. You knew where John Lewis stood.
Let's turn to the Tuesday primaries, John. There were some very interesting developments, and some of them didn't get a lot of attention. We did all hear about Jeff Sessions, and he lost in Alabama.
He certainly did, and in many ways, this is a Shakespearean drama. Jeff Sessions, the most popular politician in Alabama, 20-year U.S. senator, achieved distinction by being the first and the only U.S. senator to endorse Donald Trump for the Republican presidential nomination. He campaigned with him. He closely advised him on different issues. His longtime communications director, Stephen Miller, became a top advisor to the president in the White House, and he gave up all his seniority in the Senate to be attorney general. All that is dust now because he recused himself from the appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate alleged Russian involvement in the 2016 elections, and this, the president believed, led to the appointment of Robert Mueller as special prosecutor and a two-year investigation that took considerable time. He never forgave Jeff Sessions for that. And when Sessions tried to get back his old Senate seat, the president said no way. He endorsed Auburn University's former football coach, Tommy Tuberville. He campaigned with him in the state, and his voice was even featured on robocalls, urging voters on Tuesday to support Tuberville, not Sessions. They did, and Coach Tuberville scored the winning touchdown with more than 60% of the vote. In many ways, it is sad to see Jeff Sessions, so loyal to Donald Trump, so key to his getting credibility before he was the Republican nominee, and someone who carried out the Trump agenda at the Justice Department, notably in going after the sanctuary cities. Now he's an ex-senator and an ex-attorney general.
Well, there was another Sessions in the win column, though, this time around, and that's next, right after traffic and weather. And Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
So far, traffic is moving well on the Beltway this morning with no delays to report in Maryland and Virginia. There is still some road work on the outer loop at the BW Parkway. Now they switch over to the right lane from the left side. Also, keep in mind that a portion of Beach Drive is closed for social distance recreation this weekend. In Kensington, it's closed between the Kensington Parkway and Knowles Avenue, and also it's closed between Tilden Street and the D.C. Maryland line. Also, keep in mind that in the Wheaton area, University Boulevard is closed on the westbound side between Elkin Street and Grandview Avenue for police activity. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Another very hot day ahead of us. High temperatures in the mid-90s. A few spots may even reach the upper 90s later today under mostly sunny skies. Mainly clear and muggy tonight. Lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, plenty of heat and humidity. Highs in the upper 90s under mostly sunny skies. The heat index values be closer to 105 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
77 degrees, 717 on the Saturday morning update. We continue our conversation with John Gizzi about Tuesday's primaries because they will have an impact on this fall's election. Well, another Sessions was a winner. Tell us about Pete Sessions.
Pete Sessions, no relation to Jeff Sessions, lost his Dallas area House seat after 22 years in the 2018 elections. He then relocated to the 17th District of Texas, the Waco area, where he grew up. And in a fairly comfortable runoff, he defeated Renee Swan, who had the endorsement of the outgoing Congressman Bill Flores. Now, Donald Trump did not inject himself into this primary, but former Congressman Sessions made it very clear he was a Trump supporter. And as he told me after the returns were in, "I'm going to Washington to fight for the president." I might add that when I asked him if he knew Dr. Anthony Fauci, he said, "I sure do. And if the president asks me, I'll tell him his specialty is medical science, not political science, and let him do his job."
Ronnie Jackson, the physician to three U.S. presidents, may be back in Washington in the fall, but he'd be on Capitol Hill, not at the White House, if he wins.
That's right. He won the Republican nomination in an open Houston area district. And I might add, he trailed in the first primary, but came back and won fairly comfortably in the runoff on Tuesday. Now think about it for a minute. In the cases of Tommy Tuberville in Alabama and Ronnie Jackson in Texas, the Trump endorsement packed a powerful punch. Both carried Donald Trump's endorsement in the primary against opponents who were backed by the retiring congressman and his political organization, and yet they emerged triumphant.
Representative Justin Amash, five-term congressman, has been all over the road politically, but now apparently he's off the road, John.
He left the Republican Party to become an independent, and then he left his independent status to become a Libertarian. He flirted with seeking the Libertarian nomination for president, took himself out of the running for that particular honor, and for a while floated the idea that he would seek re-election to the seat that he first held in 2010. And I might add, a seat once held by former President Gerald Ford. Well, now he's ended all the speculation. Justin Amash said he enjoyed serving in Congress, but his time was up and he was going to seek other endeavors. I might add that this district has been in Republican hands for all but 2.5 years of the last century, and now it should remain comfortably Republican. The fear of Justin Amash running as a maverick ended.
Well, speaking of President Trump, he's got a new campaign manager. Tell us a little bit about the exit of Brad Parscale and the entrance of Bill Stepien.
To use an overused phrase, Rick, Brad Parscale is out, and it depends on who you talk to as to why. Some say it was because of the dismal attendance at the president's rally in Tulsa, something that other observers tell me was more the result of people not wanting to go out in the wake of the coronavirus and having nothing to do with the campaign manager. Others say it's simply because the president doesn't like where he stands in the polls at this time, and he resorts to his tried and true business techniques. If someone apparently is not delivering results, fire him and bring in someone new. Well, he's not exactly firing Brad Parscale. He will stay on and do what he does best, which is working in the digital realm, the cutting edge of modern campaigns in the 21st century. At the helm of the Trump reelection effort now is Bill Stepien. Now, he's had a long political association with the president. More importantly, he was considered the political hitman for former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. His rising star got dusted up a bit when the so-called Bridgegate damaged the governor's reputation and his presidential hopes 4.5 years ago. But Stepien is back now. He's a tough customer. He's known for playing hardball. And my guess is that while it never looks good when you shake up a campaign 3.5 months before the election, this is probably going to be a campaign more to Donald Trump's liking.
Kayleigh McEnany's been taking a lot of incoming fire, but she's also launched a few torpedoes on her own. Your initial thoughts, she hasn't been in very long, but do you have any thoughts on a contrast between Kayleigh McEnany and maybe some of her predecessors?
All right. Kayleigh McEnany is the 11th presidential press secretary that I have worked with. I would say she is definitely an improvement over her immediate predecessor, Stephanie Grisham, who's now gone back to her desired role as spokesman for the First Lady. She's the first press secretary in memory who never had a White House briefing, letting many of us who follow the president to conclude the president's top spokeswoman doesn't speak. Kayleigh McEnany speaks. She's returned the briefings almost to a regular daily basis, albeit with people limited by social distancing and reporters' questions limited by time. But the briefings are there, and so is she. Occasionally, she gets upset, and in that case, she's serving her master's needs. Donald Trump likes press secretaries who mix it up with us guys, and she does just that, sometimes slamming her book of briefing material and walking off the podium. Again, she's playing for a constituency of one, and I presume he enjoys it. I've seen some truly great press secretaries in my day, the greatest of all being the late Tony Snow, who had worked in print and broadcast journalism for years before assuming the podium in the James Brady briefing room. I've worked with some who are not so great, who will remain nameless. Kayleigh McEnany is no Tony Snow, but she's above a lot of others who preceded her at the podium. Most of us are going to give her a little bit more time, and at least we can judge her. She has briefings.
John Gizzi, the White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, thank you very much for your perspectives, and thank you for so much insight on Representative John Lewis. Of course, if you were just joining us this morning, Congressman John Lewis passed away yesterday. It was announced late last night. He was 80 years old. He had been suffering from pancreatic cancer. 7:25, Saturday Morning Update on WMAL.
Don't miss the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WMAL. Learn how you can earn a full-time income as a short-term trader. That's the Trading Group Show, Saturdays at 3 p.m. The question line is 888-646-8787.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet Store and see what Good Feet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
Did your son struggle with the online learning our area schools offered? Let's be honest. Depending on mom or dad to help explain physics, not always the best way to learn. Hi, it's Vince Colonnaise, and I want to tell you about Fork Union Military Academy. Located in Central Virginia, Fork Union is the nation's leading college preparatory military boarding school, offering top-notch academics and athletics for young men in grades 7 through 12. At Fork Union, they emphasize the core values like respect, integrity, faith, character, and discipline. And right now, they're accepting a limited number of fall enrollments with single room occupancy for a safe on-campus educational learning experience guaranteed to help your son achieve success. For decades, Fork Union has proven that smaller classes, personal accountability, and mandatory study periods work to help your son achieve his full potential. Most impressive about Fork Union, 100% of their graduating seniors gain college acceptance. For fall enrollment details and to learn about their enhanced safety protocols, visit ForkUnion.com. That's ForkUnion.com.
TheWindowMan.com, the region's leading replacement window company for over three decades, provides free, detailed estimates whether in-home, in-showroom, or from home by virtual appointment. Replacing your windows can be a substantial investment. Shouldn't you learn as much as possible about your options? Proudly known as the educational window company, TheWindowMan.com never uses gimmicks or pressures to sell windows. They listen, then they educate, you decide. TheWindowMan.com, since 1989.
This is all hard to believe, isn't it? Sure, we knew the bull market would eventually come to an end, but who would have guessed it would end like this? So what happens now? Well, you can panic, which a lot of people are doing, or you can take a deep breath and get to work on a strategy for moving forward. Find out how with Abe Abish of Abish Financial Services on the Retirement Key, Saturday afternoons at 2, right here on WMAL and at retirementkeyradio.com.
Home sweet home.
People are putting time and energy and money into their homes right now.
There's no better place to put it.
And as a result of all that effort,
yes,
a lot of junk needs to disappear.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
We make junk disappear. All you have to do is point.
You won't just be saying home sweet home anymore.
You'll be saying extremely very sweet,
big, open, spacious,
sparkling, junk-free home.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
7:29, it's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and K.T. McFarland. Stay with us on the Saturday morning update.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. Civil rights leader and Georgia Congressman John Lewis lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. The 80-year-old died yesterday. He's best known for leading 600 protesters in the 1965 Bloody Sunday March across a bridge in Selma, Alabama. It was there he was knocked to the ground and beaten by state troopers. 2 years before that, he spoke on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington.
Those who have said be patient and wait, we must say that we cannot be patient. We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now.
Then in 1986, he won a seat in Congress. A victory for the Texas GOP in its fight to host an in-person state convention in Houston.
Houston Mayor Sylvester Turner canceled the Republican Party of Texas's state convention at the George Brown Convention Center over concerns surrounding a steep increase in COVID-19 cases in the city. The state Supreme Court held up the city's decision, but now a federal judge has stepped in, saying the convention center must be available to the party if requested. Convention organizers say they'll utilize the space if they experience any technical problems with their online convention.
Correspondent Jim Roop. In sports, the Redskins may be fined by the NFL after a Washington Post article reported allegations of sexual harassment and verbal abuse by 15 former female staffers at the hands of former male officials. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
Donating your car to Melwood is easy. It starts with a call to 1-877-MELWOOD. Melwood provides pickup and you get a tax deduction. Your car becomes cash to support job training programs for people of differing abilities and injured veterans. Donate your car at melwood.org.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Goodfeet store and see what Goodfeet Art Supports can do for you. You never know. You might bump into a hero.
Thompson Creek Window Company is celebrating 40 years in business. That's 40 years of experience, knowledge, and window replacement solutions for you. And 40 years of making your project easy. This is Mary, and Thompson Creek is the only 40-year-old window manufacturer in the market selling direct to the consumer. They design, build, and install. One company that does it all. Now, this year is a bit different, right? We've been spending more time at home, noticing projects we want to tackle. We haven't been spending on vacations or dining out. So we can afford to get these projects done now while we have the extra time on our hands. Call now to save 40%. Buy one window, get one 40% off, including expert installation for a limited time. Plus, they have incredible finance options and many safe ways to serve you. There has never been a better time to buy. Call 855-57-CREEK now. You get more for your money at Thompson Creek. Call 855-57-CREEK today.
WMAL traffic, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Getting reports of a crash now northbound on 395 right at the 14th Street Bridge. Two lanes reported to be blocked with this incident, so do use caution if you are traveling in that area. Also, do keep in mind that there is a portion of University Boulevard that is closed on the westbound side between Grandview Avenue and Elkins Street, and that is due to police activity. And on the eastbound side, the two left lanes are closed. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Another very hot day ahead of us. High temperatures in the mid-90s. A few spots may even reach the upper 90s later today under mostly sunny skies. Mainly clear and muggy tonight. Lows in the 70s. For your Sunday, plenty of heat and humidity. Highs in the upper 90s under mostly sunny skies. The heat index values be closer to 105 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett in the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Hello, class. Welcome to Zentertainment with Amy. I'm Amy. Today, let's center your mind, body, and all your entertainment options with Xfinity X1. Repeat after me. What should I watch? Good. Very zen. X1 gives you access to everything in one place. Live TV, and now the new streaming app, Peacock. So just breathe and trust in the voice remote. Show me Parks and Rec on Peacock.
I have a medical condition, all right. It's called caring too much, and it's incurable!
Soothing, right?
X1 just got even better, with Peacock Premium included. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet and TV for $54.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Plus, get an upgrade for double the download speed free for a year. Go to Xfinity.com or call 1-800-XFINITY today. Ends 6/15/20. Restrictions apply. New Choice Double Play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including VTV fee extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply. Peacock membership required. Actual speeds vary and not guaranteed.
University of Maryland Global Campus was established to bring a respected state university education to working adults at home and abroad. 70 years ago, we sent professors overseas to educate service members and their families on military installations and on the front lines. Today, we're online because that's where working adults need us. That's where you need us. We'll support your commitment to being a successful student with services that fit your lifestyle. And we offer more than 90 programs and specializations for where you are and where you want to be. University of Maryland University College is now University of Maryland Global Campus. We go the distance because times have changed, but what we're made for hasn't. Learn the latest skills to get moving and get ahead. Earn an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate from the university that has been a pioneer in online learning for over 20 years. Classes start August 19th. Learn more at umgc.edu. That's umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chev.
.736 Saturday Morning Updates, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer joins us. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart, and he is the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Always great to join you.
Well, it's good to have you. And you've written an op-ed at the Western Journal. It came out today, westernjournal.com. Now, we all know that Russia and China obviously have been using the Internet and different tools to obviously try and influence elections and divide America. Your headline in the op-ed, Dems are using intelligence tools to destabilize America from the inside. So you add the Dems to that list.
I do, and I walk through, again, I try to be very factual in my editorials, recent events which have either been downplayed or supported by Democrats relating to undermining the very fabric of the Republic. And this is key. I mean, just last night, to underscore my point, Nancy Pelosi tweeted out about stormtroopers in Seattle. Gee, that's simply enforcement of laws with police rounding up individuals who have been identified as violent and organizers of the riots, not the protests, the riots. So this is a prime example, and people can go see her tweet. It looks like she was, I don't want to say she was drinking, but it looks like there was some vodka involved in that tweet. and I'm just saying that this is what I'm saying. The Democrats have now become committed to destruction of the very fabric which keeps the Republic together: police, institutions, history. And arguably, if you don't like history, you have that right. You have that right to speak out about it. And I will defend it. I know I took an oath to the Constitution to defend your right to say that. But I did not sign up to allowing for you to destroy everything that has allowed everyone else to maintain their free speech. That's where the line has to be drawn. Democrats don't seem to be willing to draw that line.
Well, and it all plays into the narrative of what Russia and China have been doing with all the trolling and these fake websites and their fake news sites that put out false stories and false slants on stories, obviously attempting to divide us. So it's just part of that same game. Well, you also pointed out an interesting story. We always do a little back and forth as to, you know, what we might talk about. And the one on the Iranian state hackers, I think this is great. Tell us about this one.
So basically, there's been some targeting of the bad guys, of what they're doing. So recently, these Iranian state hackers got caught when people found their tools online. And what's fascinating here, which, by the way, relates to another thing we're going to talk about in a second, which was the Twitter hack, is that these hackers have had a very sophisticated, very in-depth set of techniques, which have been actually very effective in penetrating our cyber infrastructure, as well as being able to do things to message. This, to your point, is something that our adversaries are doing constantly. Online, you have to always watch what you're reading because you don't have to worry about source. And more importantly, Rick, you know, the cyber stuff is more likely than anything else to touch the lives of everyday Americans. And this set of tools really did show how sophisticated, how a small nation like Iran compared to Russia or China figuratively, you know, regarding the size, could actually do things to devastate our entire infrastructure if they so chose to do so. So it was a very interesting article. I think if people can look it up and see it themselves, it's online. It's the Iranian state hackers caught with their pants down in intercepted videos. I encourage people to go check it out because it does illustrate how vulnerable we are online.
We're going to be talking with KT McFarland about the Trump administration putting the hammer down on China in a few minutes. But I wanted to get your read on what's going on between China and not the U.S., but what's going on between China and India.
So over the past 10 years, it's been interesting to watch India essentially grow up. And for decades before the 2000s, the Indians and Pakistanis were essentially regional challengers. They were kind of at each other's throat. There's been Kashmir. The Chinese have become the big target that India has to deal with because India's grown up. India is now a regional power, which is actually producing a great deal of wealth for itself. Economically, it's one of our big trade partners, especially with China causing the problems with COVID and other issues. So what's happened now, what's developed, is a regional back and forth where there's been border disputes as well as combat on the border between China and India. This is something that's going to actually continue to grow worse. So I think the American public is not aware that they should be. But the next big thing is not going to be Russia-China. It's going to be India-China, and it may get nasty.
And one quick note on cybersecurity in terms of the Twitter hack this week. And that was an interesting one. They had people like Bill Gates and Barack Obama saying that if you make a contribution to this Bitcoin address, I'm going to double the contribution. And boy, that one turned out to be a real winner.
Well, this goes back to my point regarding India. About the Iranian tools. Everybody has to understand that any time you become dependent on any site, you cannot fully trust what you see. I mean, clearly those were blue-checked accounts. People trusted them, and they acted. And apparently there's a tick over $100,000 lost to this, but it was lost. That's the point here. I believe Twitter is compromised. Apparently someone got inside, and there's no guarantee, Rick, that compromise has been fully identified or stopped. So buyer beware. But this is my point. Anybody who is on the Internet has to be aware that bad guys, India, China, Russia, all have these techniques, and plus you have the criminal element out there which did the Twitter hack. And sometimes they converge. You could have both the North Korean hack that does both criminal activity to make money as well as show disinformation. So that's the issue we all face. I think it was a lesson for everybody to understand that I don't think Barack Obama is going to ask you for $1,000, just saying. But people fell for it, and people will fall for it. So it's very important that people understand that any of these big sites that you go to are not necessarily secure, and it's up to you as an individual to secure your own information.
Well, just think of what they could do with a politician, quoting a politician.
Exactly. Yeah. And they will. It's coming.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and we point you to his op-ed. It's out today at the Western Journal, and that's westernjournal.com. And the headline on it, Dems are using intelligence tools to destabilize America from the inside. As always, Tony, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Rick.
You bet. 7:45 Saturday morning update. We're going to check traffic and weather. Then we're back with KT McFarland. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
On 395 northbound, right at the 14th Street Bridge, there is an accident blocking the right lane and the center lane. You'll need to stay to your left and use caution through that area. You will find delays beginning right about at 110. Also, do keep in mind in Wheaton that there is still some utility work affecting Georgia Avenue northbound. The two right lanes are closed between University Boulevard and Blue Ridge Avenue, so do keep that in mind. Also, keep in mind that on Beach Drive, that is shut down between Kensington Parkway and Knowles Avenue in Kensington for social distance recreation. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
Well, after a very hot end of the week, more heat and humidity is expected this weekend. Plenty of sunshine today, but high temperatures in the mid-90s. I'd say not quite as humid today with the dew points back in the 60s, but things will change overnight. The mugginess will return, mainly clear, lows in the 70s. As we go towards your Sunday, plenty of sunshine, hot and humid, highs in the upper 90s. It will feel like closer to 105 degrees. I'm ABC 7 meteorologist Alex Liggett, the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
It's 79 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:46 on WMAL.
It's a great time to get a great deal on a new car when you get approved for an auto loan from PenFed. Our Powered by True Car rates are as low as 1.39% APR on new vehicles. Finance for a longer term to lower your monthly bill. Plus, take up to 60 days to schedule your first payment. Join PenFed, and together, we'll keep you moving forward. Anyone can apply. Visit PenFed.org/auto or call 1-800-247-5626. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference, like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help, offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you met a true hero lately? Hi, it's Jonathan Cotton with the Good Feet Store, and I've been thinking about heroes that I work with. Take Reese, for example, one of our store managers. Reese served in Afghanistan and sustained significant injuries when his MRAP vehicle was disabled by an IED. He was told he would never walk without a cane. However, after he was fitted with Good Feet arch supports, he was able to walk without a limp and without a cane. His service as a manager is exemplary, and we are proud to have Reese on the Good Feet team. The story doesn't stop there, though. Reese fell in love and got married to a beautiful nurse named Erica. And during this pandemic, who was on the front lines taking care of COVID-19 patients? You guessed it, Erica. Heroes tend to stick together. The Good Feet Store says thank you to all of our heroes. We especially say thank you to the heroes among us, such as Reese and Erica, for the many ways they have served us all. Come by the Good Feet Store and see what Good Feet Arch Supports can do for you. You never know, you might bump into a hero.
Come summer in Old Bay and enjoy breathtaking views of blue skies, grass overtaken by weeds, and your neighbor taking the trash out shirtless. Sip an Old Bay Bloody Mary as you relax in a lawn chair overlooking the kiddie pool and the trampoline. And savor Old Bay steamed shrimp as you take in the calm, tranquil sound of your husband going to town with the weed whacker. Old Bay, you don't just like it.
At Select Auto Imports, you can save 33% on premium certified pre-owned luxury cars. The only luxury Highline dealership in the entire Washington metropolitan area to have received Edmunds.com 5-star Dealer of the Year award for the past 4 years in a row. Over 30 years in business. Over 19,000 happy clients. Isn't it about time you visited Select Auto Imports in Alexandria, Virginia? Select Auto Imports. Drive luxury for less. And find out what drives you.
7:49, it is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Thank you for being with us this morning. And we are joined by K.T. McFarland. She is the former Deputy National Security Advisor at the White House in the Trump administration. And she has authored Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. And it's a wonderful insight into really how it works in the Trump administration. She was there, and she saw it, I think, a little differently than John Bolton saw things. But, KT, it's great to have you with us.
Good morning.
All right. I want to talk to you about China because the Trump administration has taken some strong policy action on China this week. And first off, the security concerns involving Chinese companies. You know, in the United States, the companies typically independently own. They have shareholders. They have boards of directors. And they're not a part of the government. But tell us about these companies in China.
Well, China passed a law a couple of years ago saying that any Chinese company, whether it's owned by the government, owned by individuals, owned by corporations in China, every company and every individual has to answer to a request from the Chinese military, the Chinese government, military intelligence services. So in other words, there is now no longer such a thing as an independent Chinese company. So Huawei, which is the one that gets all the attention, which is trying to build the Internet of the future, the Internet infrastructure for 5G, they may be independent, but they're not independent. They report to the Chinese government whenever the Chinese government says, hey, look, turn over your files, or we want to know about this person, or we want you to sabotage that thing. They have to do it. And so, I mean, just imagine what it would be like in America if the President of the United States said, Apple, we'd like you to turn over all of the information you have about anybody in China and any Chinese business or any German business. They would say, well, I won't repeat what they would probably say to the President of the United States, but they wouldn't do it. In China, you don't have that option. And so when we're looking at, quote, Chinese companies and what the Chinese plan to do, I mean, I'm running around with my hair on fire about this because I think that China had always had a plan to be the world's dominant power by mid-century, economically, politically, militarily, and every other way. But the pandemic has speeded up their timeline. They think they're going to emerge within, say, 3-5 years when the world reemerges from this as the dominant world power. And they're making their moves now. They've made their moves in Hong Kong, saying that that the laws of Hong Kong will not be respected. Hong Kong is now part of China. If you want to demonstrate on the streets of Hong Kong, fine, you do it once, and then we throw you in jail for life. They've reneged on their promises in the South China Sea, the world's most important maritime route, trade route, And they now try to claim that as an internal Chinese lake. China's going to decide who sails in and out. America, you get your ships out of there. Everybody else, you get your ships out of there. We're going to take whatever islands and resources we want out of the South China Sea. They're building a land-based trade route called One Belt, One Road that connects 70 nations from Europe and the Middle East to Asia that they're going to control and they're going to dominate. And then they plan to dominate the infrastructure of the future, the 5G Internet. So all those things are now speeded up. And while the rest of the world is still struggling and coping with how to deal with the virus, the Chinese, everybody wears a mask in China, by the way, they're buying up world industries, tech companies in the U.S. and the U.K., resource companies in Africa and the Middle East at fire sale prices. They plan to, in 5 years, really change the world order. And then they'll be in charge, and then nobody really gets to have an independent foreign or trade policy. It'll be what China tells them.
So how does the Trump administration take on the new policy measures, and what do they plan to do about China?
Well, you know, I've got to give you, the thing about Trump is always look at what he does. Don't look at what he says. He says a lot of stuff. But what he does and what he's done to China, he's the first president to stand up to China and say, wait, enough of this. You've ripped off American companies. You're ripping off the United States. You're abusing our generosity towards you. I mean, and he stood up to them. The trade wars were all about let's have reciprocal trade, not trade that favors China at the expense of America. And what has happened with the pandemic, I think, is it's been a real wake-up call. Trump is already there, but it's been a real wake-up call to other countries in the world. For example, the British last week said that they, even though they had promised that they wanted to use the Chinese company to build their Internet of the future, the 5G, they're now not going to do it. They're going to not let China in their Internet infrastructure. And right now, the National Security Advisor, Robert O'Brien, and Matt Pottinger, the deputy, the man who has the job that I had, and both of the men I brought into the Trump administration, they're now in Europe trying to convince the other companies, Germany, France, Italy, et cetera, let's all stand up together against China. Don't let them do the 5G network in your countries. And by the way, let's all stand up to China on trade and other issues. And I think that they're getting a good reception. I mean, the Australians, the Brits, the Japanese, the South Koreans, and now the hopefully more in Europe, are now understanding that China does not have good intentions towards the rest of us, and that they've been abusing the global order that we created and we subsidized their development, and now they plan to take advantage of that, really, and turn around and bite the hand that fed them. So I think that the Trump administration does have a plan. It's a significant and serious plan. And so, again, watch what they do. Don't watch what they say.
Well, I want to turn to Mary Trump because she's the latest in the line of people to write a negative book about President Trump. And obviously she's selling a lot of books and she's saying a lot of stuff. She's called him a sociopath. She says he's dangerous to the country, yada, yada, yada. Now, I've known you for a long time. And we talked before President Trump was elected, so we go way back. Knowing you as well as I do, I know that you are a good judge of character. And my sense is if you had worked for President Trump and you found him to be any of these things that Mary Trump says, after you left the White House, you probably wouldn't continue to say things that are positive about the steps that the president is taking to lead this country. So help us understand what we're missing here.
You know, Rick, it was one of the hardest things I did when I left the Trump administration, and I wanted to write a book about Washington, not only my experiences, but put it into the bigger perspective. I got a big interest from the publishing houses. Now, if I had said, I want to tell you how terrible President Trump is, and I'll give you a lot of examples and quotes, oh, my gosh, I would have had millions thrown in my direction, the same way Mary Trump did, the same way John Bolton did. You leave the Trump administration, you write a terrible book about President Trump, and everybody calls you a hero. You know, that would have been really tempting, particularly because I had significant legal bills to pay after the Mueller investigation and the FBI tried to do to me what they did to Flynn. But I didn't do it, and I think I wrote a far more balanced book that lasts. But when somebody like Mary Trump, who clearly has some issues of her own, they're just cashing in. John Bolton, cashing in. I just, I mean, I guess it would be terrific to sit on those piles of money and be a celebrity for a moment, but I'm not sure I could look at myself in the mirror after I did that. I think Mary Trump has some real issues that she needs to get some professional help for.
Well, Trump gets a lot of political criticism. He obviously gets criticism from the, you know, elites in the Washington media and, you know, in the education community and everywhere else. But what people just don't want to understand about him is that he is a businessman. He never pivoted from being a businessman to turning into a politician or a Washington bureaucrat. And he does everything differently. And they can't accept it.
It just drives them nuts. Look at it this way. President Trump, I'm a New Yorker, and my husband's in business, and I've lived around business all the times that I've never been in Washington. And in the business world, you either make money that day or you don't make money that day. Trump is in the media world. I've been on the, you know, Fox News contributor for a long time. You either have good ratings or you have bad ratings. You have a bottom line, a real judgment, pen and paper, black and white, whether you won or whether you lost. Words are nice, but deeds matter. And when he gets to Washington, in Washington, everybody says everything terrific. They never do it. I mean, they never follow through. Oh, we're going to end poverty. Never really happened. Oh, you could keep the doctor if you like. Never really happened. I mean, Washington politicians, they promise everything, but they never do anything. They do what their donors tell them to do,
They're good at kicking the can.
They're way good at kicking the can, and they're not good at standing up for principle. So Trump gets to Washington, and he says a lot of stuff. He tweets a lot of stuff. Frankly, you know, it probably even if you got him in a moment of quiet, he would probably say, well, maybe I shouldn't have done that. He probably doesn't even like some of the stuff he says. But look at what he does. He stood up to China, and he's stood up to Russia. He's told the Russians, you know, he's increased American military spending. He's bankrupted Russia because of he's encouraged the fracking and energy independence of the United States. Russia needs high oil prices to stay in business. He cyber attacked the Russian unit that did the hacking of the 2016 elections. He hacked them in 2000. I mean, he attacked them in 2018, which is why the Russians didn't hack us then. Just get past Donald Trump's words and look at his deeds.
KT McFarland.
Good job.
KT McFarland, the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People, an intelligent look at how it runs at the White House. Thank you very much, KT. Always appreciate it.
Talk to you next week.
You betcha. 8 o'clock news is next. Then it's Garden Sense on WMAO.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.